We will call this property tax division night hearing to order. We do have minutes. Vice Chair Lee, do I have a motion?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move to approve the minutes from March 15th.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Just to let everybody know, we do have quorum. We have multiple hearings going on with people presenting bills. So they have checked in, and we can conduct lawful business. So we're going to get going here. And first up, House File 428. Okay, so the chair moves that House File 428 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. There is no amendments, so Representative Clarity, to your bill. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Lister Garden Committee. Thanks for hearing House File 428. This proposal would allow the Economic Development Authority of the City of West St. Paul or the City of West St. Paul to establish one or more TIF financing districts within the defined area. The proposal would provide special rules for the district. These include removing restrictions on redevelopment districts and deeming expenditures incurred in connections with the development of the property as allowable uses of tax increment. And I have a testifier here. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair and members. My name is Nate Burkett. I'm the city manager for the city of West St. Paul. And I appreciate the opportunity to ask for your support for House File 428. It is a request to actually restore the city's authority to use tax increment financing on a couple of parcels on State Highway 3, which you probably know as Robert Street. It's right in the center of West St. Paul. We say restore because the YMCA building that was on that building since the 1960s was torn down a couple of years ago. And if that building was still standing, we wouldn't be in front of you asking for that authority. There are about four primary statutory qualifications for a city to establish a TIF district. And again, if that building was there, all four of those qualifications would have been met, and we wouldn't have needed to come to ask for this special authority. Developer purchased it a couple of years ago. They tore down the building, and then ultimately the developer decided they were going to abandon the project, and the city decided to purchase it so that we could be in control of what ultimately developed in a very key central location within our community. All of the TIF proceeds will be used for allowable expenses such as land acquisition, utilities, roads, sidewalks, and parking facilities, but overall this project will enable us to establish a true central focus point for our community that we're desperately lacking. There is no part of this project that's possible without using TIF, which is kind of the key component of TIF, right? But for TIF, this project wouldn't happen. And so in addition to badly needed housing, we'd also end up with a great deal of public improvements that we all can enjoy. We also believe that this project will be a catalyst for further redevelopment throughout our city. And then finally, as it says in the fiscal note to this bill, we're not asking for any financing from the state. We're just asking for you to give us our authority back so that we can use TIF to control our own destiny on this vital piece of property within our community. And with that, I'd stand for questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to testify? Okay, member discussion. Representative Quam.
I notice this is asking for special rules and going outside the general law on this issue. Are we setting, is this normal to just, you know, allow the exception that's being asked for? Do you have examples of previous times?
Are you asking nonpartisan the history of the TIF?
Anyone that can tell me if there's a previous example of this type of special rules and authorization and what the example is.
Ms. Hengler.
Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, I can't remember one off the top of my head, but these, looking at the special rules under subdivision 2, paragraphs 1 and 2, I have definitely seen this language before, so it is not uncommon to grant these types of special rules.
Representative Quam.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, we have to be careful that we don't start setting precedents, because when you do that, you know, sometimes things expand beyond our plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, closing comments.
Thanks again. I represent 5 different cities, and West St. Paul's only come to me with 2 things that they couldn't do by themselves. So they're not one that comes for everything. I've got cities and counties that kind of do that, but not West St. Paul. So this is a need, and this is, they were able to verify that it did qualify based on the existing condition. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you standing up for all of your communities, because that is what we are elected to do. So good job. Okay, with that, Chair renews his motion that House File 428 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 428 is laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you.
Next, we have House File 1458. Chair moves that House File 1458 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. Welcome, Representative Cable, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1458 authorizes the City of Fridley to use excess tax increment from its TIF District Number 20 to help fund the city's current housing rehabilitation programs. House File 1458 will give Fridley the exceptions to the general TIF law, but only for those that mirror similar exceptions enacted in 2021 for cities such as Minnetonka, Richfield, and St. Louis Park. Fridley's aging housing stock needs serious rehab, and it's a challenge beyond the means of many of its residents. Fridley's median income is only 62% of the metro median income. Our BIPOC population has gone from 12% to 31% since 2000, and its longtime residents are growing older. These are people most likely to struggle with aging and deteriorating homes. The city has responded with creative and aggressive programs for rehab loans and grants, but the programs will be out of funds by 2024. There is a compelling historical reason to allow this exception to the general TIF law for this particular TIF district. Fridley District 20 is unique. It covers up a cleaned up notorious Superfund site that plagued our area for decades and hampered growth and progress. Actually, my dad worked for the company. And it was on the list of the worst national Superfund sites, and people feared it would pollute the city's water supply. The site finally got cleaned up, but in the process, the city spent more than $4.5 million of its own resources and $15 million in GO bonds as it worked to remediate the site along with the PCA and EPA and the polluters in the U.S. Navy. During the cleanup, Fridley created the TIF District Number 20 to assist the economic development, and once the site was pollution-free. Fortunately, now it's producing tax increment, and since this is the very district that helped create the problem for Fridley's growth since the 1960s, and since the city contributed significant resources to assist with the cleanup, it seems only fair that Fridley be allowed, at least for the time, to use the excess increment to help solve its aging housing stock. So I urge you, I urge the support, and with that, I will turn it over to Mayor Lund.
Welcome, Mayor Lund. State your name for the record, and please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Scott Lund, Fridley Mayor, and as Representative Kegel was mentioning about one of the worst polluted sites, and it happens to be in my territory. It's not the most positive thing I like to emulate or speak about, but We're so pleased that this risky endeavor turned out to be a huge success. In the real estate world of commercial and industrial properties, I have been told repeatedly by large firms that they think that this is a home run for our community. What a wonderful turnout that this project has come to fruition over about an eight-year period of time. It has brought about 2,500 new jobs to Fridley as well. So it's got a lot of positives to it. Along with that, we also changed the financing to go bonds, and we now have an excess of increment of about close to $1 million a year. We'd certainly like your permission to use some of that for the next few years in our evolving fund programs because the programs have become so successful in Fridley. Problem is, we're running out of money. So I'll give you one example. Even in our senior deferred loan program, where seniors in Fridley hopefully can stay in their homes longer and they can get up to $25,000 in our program, which allows for at least 10 programs or 10 loans a year, because we cap out at $250,000. Well, the need is so great, and it has gotten so much, so many people have applied for it. In the first 30 days of this year, the money was all used for the year. So they can reapply it next January 1. After next year, that money will go very quickly. We will be out of funds. We cannot continue to fund that program. The monies will come eventually back to us, but they're quite deferred because it's zero interest. And we don't get that money back until that property sells, either by somebody's death or they become so incapacitated they have to get into some type of assisted living. That's just one of the great programs that we have found great success in our community. I'm asking you to help us continue with those successes.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to testify for or against? Seeing none, member discussion. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is this normal to transfer money from TIF to an HRA?
Ms. Hagler.
Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, this was kind of a new endeavor that happened in 2021 for the cities of St. Louis Park, Richfield, and Minnetonka. And they were also, I believe, given the same kind of reporting requirements and ability to transfer funds to this type of, for these types of projects. So it's not typical, but it has happened.
Representative Quam.
Thank you. So were they originally designed TIF for a different purpose, or were they came forward for TIF to do HRA?
Ms. Hagler.
Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, I believe those may have been redevelopment districts for those cities that are using the increment for the housing under that special allowance that the 2021 tax bill granted, but I'm not 100% sure, so I'd have to go back and check.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I'm curious about is if you originally, the intent is you do TIF to clean up a Superfund, or you do TIF to do X, Y, or Z. Is it normal then, once that's done, you continue the TIF to fund other things that the original intent of that TIF don't apply?
Ms. Hagler.
Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, I think a city would have to get a special allowance to use a certain amount of increment above the 25% for pooling for projects that are outside of the district. So if they were to use increment under that amount, that it's possible that that is happening already without needing legislative authority. So it is possible to have one project inside the TIF district and then use the increment outside of it until a certain percent.
Representative Quam.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, part of the questioning on these is a lot of people aren't familiar and they might be listening or watching, and that way they get a little bit more of a background, because some of those we're hearing tonight are a little bit different than the standard.
Thank you.
So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right, anyone else? Seeing none, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I think this is a really, you know, some of the things that we've been talking about. This was a Superfund site that was cleaned up and redeveloped into industrial park, and also there's a really great brewery there too. And then Fridley also has naturally occurring affordable housing. And so it's a spot where, you know, we have all these great industries, companies, and affordable housing. And so I think this is just a really great way to make sure that we're keeping people in our community and keeping folks in their home. And I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for coming, Mayor.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. So Chair renews his motion that House File 1458 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 1458 is laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we are going to go to House File 1463. Okay, there's no amendment. Okay, so Chair moves that House File 1463 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. Welcome to the committee, and please present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Lissagard. Thank you, committee, for hearing us this evening. I'm Representative Hemmingson Yeager. Yes, the longest name on the board. Excited to be here today to represent my community of Woodbury in regards to a TIF for our community center, which we call Central Park. It allows the city to use the remaining increment held in a current tax increment financing district and adds an additional 5 years on the district length. I have my city administrator, Mr. Clint Ridley, here to kind of explain some of the details. But as far as I know, there's no opposition on this bill. It made it through the previous tax, and thank you to the previous tax committee members, because I believe it was in last year's omnibus. So with that, near permission, I would like to hand it over to my testifier.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for allowing the City of Woodbury to come before you today. So as mentioned, I'm Clint Ridley, and I serve as the City Administrator for the City of Woodbury, and I'd like to begin by thanking Representative Hemmingson Yeager and Representative Chaw for their support and leadership in assisting the City of Woodbury. So on behalf of the City of Woodbury, I humbly ask you to consider TIF number 13 amendment as presented in House File 1463. We are aware that this type of request has been granted for many public facilities and costs the state nothing. In addition, this bill was included in last year's omnibus bill mentioned, but it did not make it across the finish line. So let me explain briefly about it. So in Woodbury, we're honored to host a great public amenity, Central Park, for the citizens of the East Metro and indeed the entire state of Minnesota. Central Park is our beloved gathering space in the city of Woodbury. We happily host people from across the region with multicultural, multi-generational, educational, and recreation program opportunities offered throughout the facility. We are at the point in the life of cycle of Central Park that we need major upgrades, remodeling, and construction throughout the facility. This includes updates to accessibility through the facilities, wayfinding, single-use restrooms, increased multi-purpose room capacity for larger events, meetings, and public programs. So in short, this bill is about the use of excess increment, as you've heard described in other requests, and extending its life. The basics of TIF 13 as currently established are as follows. TIF 13 was established in 2001 as an affordable housing district and currently exists, will sunset in 2026. The Presbyterian Home rents 16 of their units to the Stonecrest to low-income families in exchange for the Skyway linkage to Central Park. The proceeds from TIF 13 are currently established to be used for the pay the debt service on the Skyway and to pay the development portion of the increment as time moves forward we get more proceeds and the developer gets less. And then lastly, any surplus proceeds from the district, once the debt service is paid for, may only be used for affordable housing pooling or the real improvement of the Skyway. So this bill proposes to give us two benefits. The first, it extends the life of the district by 5 years to 2031, which would provide a source of revenue because we don't have to make a payment to the developer following the 2026 originally intended sunset date of the district. Second, it allows us to spend the surplus TIF revenues on maintenance as well as facility and infrastructure upgrades at Central Park, which it connects to. So at this point, the Skyway is not in need of updates, but the facility that is used by so many residents at Stonecrest, as well as the broader community, is. So this funding will help ensure that the public facility the bridge was created for to have access will remain in good working condition and will comply with necessary accessibility standards. So again, thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and stand for any questions you might have.
Thank you. Anyone else like to testify? Or against? Seeing none. Member discussion. Representative Quam.
Thank you. Is the project in the inside the boundaries of the TIF district?
So the TIF district is the Presbyterian Homes, and it's this, and it's the Skyway, which connects to Central Park. Central Park is a public facility. It's not in the TIF district because it doesn't create the increment. The Presbyterian Homes and the Skyway are in the district. And again, the Presbyterian Homes TIF, the increment, paid for that Skyway connection to our Central Park facility.
Representative Quam.
Thank you. Is it normal to spend outside a TIF district?
Ms. Hagler.
Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, it is allowed for certain districts up to a certain percentage.
Representative Quam.
Okay, it sounds like this might be for a period of time a fairly decent percentage of the TIF. What is the percentage that limits or has been limited to in the past?
Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, if this is a redevelopment district, I believe it is 25%. Maybe the testifier could speak to the type of district that this one.
Mr. Gridley.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure I know the answer to that question.
I love honesty.
Well, Mr. Chair, if there's some clarifications and more details on this, this bill is being laid over for possible inclusion, then, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, closing comments.
Thank you. I'll make sure to follow up on any questions that you guys have. But again, thank you so much for your time and attention. Central Park really is an amazing place for our community. It has a large commitment to the community, too. So if you can kind of imagine, it's right across the street from County Services. It's down the street from our public safety, which is down the street from our City Hall. It has major roads. It has a Y in it, a library. And as Mr. Gridley described, it has a Skyway to our senior living center so that our seniors can go and enjoy Central Park, get out of their rooms and exercise without having to worry about slipping on the ice. My Oma like shut herself in her house from October till the thaw because she was so afraid of slipping on ice. So I want to say thanks again and appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. Chair renews his motion that House File 1463 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 1463 is laid over for possible inclusion. Next, we have House File 134. Welcome. Chair moves that House File 134 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. I believe there is...
yes, there is an amendment.
Author an amendment. Would you like me to move that prior?
If you would, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
The chair moves that, let's see here, moves A2 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The bill is amended to your bill.
Thank you, Chair Lislegarde and members. I'd like to just thank you for hearing this bill. I know it's the TIF discussion was important in our caucus, and I just want to thank you for hearing the bill. This is a tax increment finance bill for the City of Plymouth. Plymouth respectfully requests inclusion of this legislation to tackle some problems in the City of Plymouth. The TIF will enable construction of critical roadway improvements around a redevelopment site. Plymouth is also attempting to address public safety issues at a number of intersections. The site is surrounded by three county highways and Interstate 494. And Plymouth needs to address these current dangerous conditions by improving this public infrastructure. I would like to thank you for hearing this bill. And for those of you who served on the tax committee last year, you will remember that this is the hard-fought compromise between the House and the Senate that was included in the bill last year. And with that today, I have Mayor Walshy from the City of Plymouth to provide testimony, and then I have City Manager Callister here if we need to have questions answered.
Right? Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Yeah, thank you. Jeff Walshy. I am the Mayor of Plymouth. Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for having us here today. The city is seeking approval of House File 0134 to authorize the creation of a TIF district for the redevelopment of a site in Northeast Plymouth, which would provide funding for public infrastructure and support affordable housing opportunities. This bill was introduced in last year's omnibus tax bill, and we are asking for your support today. The 75-acre site was sold last fall. The existing 450,000 square foot building will require demolition, which is expected to cost approximately $5.4 million. Additional site needs include $3.3 million for sanitary sewer infrastructure. In addition, the redevelopment requires six intersection improvements at an estimated cost of $10 million. The site is surrounded by one of the most heavily traveled areas in the region, with a combined total of more than 130,000 trips taken daily on adjacent roadways. The site is surrounded by Interstate 494, three county roads, and the Maple Grove border. Five of the six intersection improvements needed are on the site are county intersections. And while we feel it is the responsibility of Hennepin County to assist with the improvements to its own county roadways, Hennepin County has made it clear that no funds will be available for any of the intersection improvements now or in the future. Mr. Chair and committee members, I want to point out that our Hennepin County Commissioner is aware of the TIS district request and is supportive of it. This need for regional infrastructure would improve public safety for pedestrians and motorists, mitigate traffic congestions for thousands of people who travel these routes daily. In addition to regional infrastructure, the proposed TIF district would help support affordable housing opportunities. Following demolition and other infrastructure improvements, the site will be redeveloped into a mixed-use development that may include housing, retail, and office components. Approximately 1,000 units of new housing are included in the concept plan, which would include affordable housing for families and seniors. Mr. Chair and committee members, establishing the proposed TIF district is a very important issue for our city. It is important how it would support housing and allow growth in the new tax base to help fund these necessary infrastructure improvements, so as not to place an undue burden on Plymouth taxpayers. We respectfully request that you support passage of House File 0134. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone would like to speak for or against this bill in the audience? Seeing none, member discussion. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How normal is the utilization of TIF for roads and, you know, that type of construction?
Ms. Hagler.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Chair and Representative Quam, regarding the roads, I think it's common that adjacent rights of way are sometimes included in the boundaries of the TIF district.
And I just, let me interrupt you, Ms. Hagler. I feel really bad, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, is we have multiple committees happening right now, and there's a lot of extra burden put on the staff. So Ms. Hagler is once again working not in her field of where she normally is, so I really appreciate, what you're doing. Yes.
And Mr. Chair, I'm fine with getting clarification and additional information since this will be held over.
Thank you.
But one of the things we always hear is property taxes, yes, in this committee are very complex. And one of the things I'm trying to do tonight is ask some of the questions that the people are curious about and to sort of educate the audience. Plus, we do have newer members in our committee. And so I'm not trying to be tough or difficult, but just trying to add some additional information on the backside.
Representative Quam, you are bringing up wonderful questions. Some of your questions stimulates more of a thought process and for people to understand, so I do appreciate it. I want people to know, as she's working extremely hard to find it in there, that this is not her normal wheelhouse. So,
Mr. Chair, may I?
Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Representative Quam. I appreciate the thoroughness and thoughtfulness of the question as well. And that's why I heard your questions earlier to the other testifiers, and that's why I stated that this bill was in the last year's omnibus. If anyone has ever worked with Senator Rest, you would know that nothing is included in that bill if it's not allowed. And so, yes, to your question, it is allowed, but we do have to come to the legislature and ask for this to be allowed. So it is within your purview as the legislature to say yes or no. And that is why I'm before you tonight, to ask for your permission and consent. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Quam.
Part of the second part of the question is because they were indicating there's a state highway and other jurisdictional roadways, and that would be part of the clarification. I didn't add that initially because I knew that would be deeper into the weeds, but that's not trivial.
Yeah. Nope, I agree. I appreciate that. Thank you. Anyone else? Closing comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. And I just ask, this is very important to our community, as is all TIF matters for other communities as well, and I ask for your consideration and inclusion in the final bill. Thank you, and thank you again, Representative Quam, for your thoughtful question.
So, Chair renews his motion that House File 134, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 134, as amended, is laid over for possible inclusion. All right. Let's see here. Next up, we have House File 1471. I feel like this is the price of right. Price is right. Remember that?
Bob Bart.
All right. Welcome. The chair, let me see here. Chair moves that House File 1471 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. There is no amendments, so to your bill.
All right. Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. Also, thank you for the opportunity to hear House File 1471 and for being here late on a snowy night. We are here to talk about a bill that would reduce property tax liability for a key employer who is seeking to expand its operations and workforce right here in Minnesota. Cirrus Aircraft is based in Duluth and is the largest manufacturer of private aircraft in the United States. They are planning to triple their production over the next decade and are now looking to do so right in Duluth, Minnesota. This plant expansion will require scores of new employees, a hiring increase that has already begun with 269 additional employees hired at the Duluth facility in 2022 alone. This project fills an additional 160 jobs over the next 14 months, which would also bring its total workforce in Minnesota to over 1,700 employees. This bill deals with one of the properties that Cirrus has already recently expanded into, which is the former aircraft maintenance facility in Duluth at the Duluth International Airport. So before selling this massive airport hangar to Cirrus in 2022, the city shouldered a sizable financial burden just to maintain the facility. The hangar is still in need of significant investment in order to suit Cirrus's needs moving forward, and this bill would reduce the property tax liability for the facility by 50% to help make this move make sense for all parties involved. This bill was introduced last year and was included in the bipartisan omnibus tax bill that passed conference committee but did not end up going on to become law. So today I have with me Chris Fleege, who is the Director of Planning and Economic Development for the City of Duluth, to talk more about the important partnership with the city's third largest employer and how this bill would provide economic development for both the city as well as the region. So I'd like to turn it over to Chris, Chair.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, and please proceed with your testimony.
Chair Liz Lagarde and representatives, my name is Chris Fleege, and Representative Kozlowski said, I serve as the Director of Planning and Economic Development here at the City of Duluth. I want to thank Representative Kozlowski for sponsoring the bill, which is proposing to modify property tax exemption language impacting property tax allocation for businesses that are located and operated at the airport. The goal of this legislation is to support economic development for aviation business cluster through encouraging capital investment and job creation. I can share a few key points of this bill that may be helpful to the representatives. First, it does not reduce other levy amounts that are collected by other jurisdictions, whether it's county, state, or city. It basically does a reallocation, and the proposed legislation would provide a transitional net capacity rate of transitioning to 50% for aviation businesses located at the airport in cities with populations between 50,000 and 150,000. So these would include cities like Duluth, St. Cloud, Rochester. Under the current language that's in the current tax code, it allows for cities that are below 50,000, such as Hibbing, Eveleth Tower, those businesses that are located on those properties pay no property taxes. They've got a net capacity of zero. And this bill would not change that. It would leave that exemption for the smallest communities, but would create this transitional rate for the communities that are between 50 and 150,000. Please note that what is unique to aviation businesses compared to other ones is those that operate on the airport are subject to additional lease expenses, which are structured really to provide financial support for airport operations. They've got operating costs such as plowing, maintenance of pavement surfaces. I think the Duluth Airport alone estimates they've got the equivalent of 75 miles of roads that they have to maintain. They have firefighting capability on site, security, lighting, and other operating expenses. Airports do not have a levy authority, so they're not able to capture those costs, and they do that through the property leases that businesses pay. The businesses at the airport are essentially subject to this unique additional tax or cost recovery mechanism via the leases. So for example, in Duluth, basically the property taxes are about $1.1 million, but they pay another $2.3 million in lease expenses just to keep the facility up and running, and those are recovered through the lease mechanism. Businesses are not allowed to own the property, and that's really what facilitates this alternative cost recovery mechanism. I think the important thing that you might be asking is, well, why are we shifting any of that tax burden? And I think the answer really is, when you think about the airport, it provides benefits beyond just those businesses. We have daily FedEx flights that come in, so it's a benefit to all businesses who receive FedEx packages. And having daily service for both business travel and leisure allows all the community members to benefit from those costs that the businesses that operate within the airport basically pay to make sure the runways are cleared every day. So those costs are really the rationale to have a transitional rate. So it's not zero like it is for below 50, and it's not zero. It's what the proposal is to have it be about 50%. As you'll note, I think with the Department of Revenue, they calculated, even though there's no impact to the jurisdictional collection, it does have an impact on the general fund because there is additional refunds that go back to the residential properties. So the impact is like $30,000 a year to the broader general fund, which is a fairly minimal expense. So the shift really ends up being, and I got their numbers from the Department of Revenue, for 2023 it would be $940,000, and basically the impact of cutting it to a 50% rate would be setting it at $470,000. Last year we calculated what would be the impact to a homeowner that owned a house of about $200,000 in value, and it would be about $6.44. So again, that's kind of the benefit that, you know, having an airport that has daily flights in and out and is up and running, that is really the benefit that extends well beyond just St. Louis County. It really is a regional benefit to have an international airport. So the last thing I would just share is that basically this has a sunset provision. It sunsets in 2035. And then as Representative Kozlowski mentioned, this was part of the omnibus bill that moved forward last year. And I would hope that that the House would support this language and would be happy to answer any questions that representatives may have. And thank you for the time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyone else would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Kozlowski, for carrying this bill. Cirrus Aircraft is one of the unbelievable, magnificent stories of the state of Minnesota. I've tracked them from day one, and they are still growing rapidly. Representative Kozlowski, and to your testifier, if I understand this right about hangars on these airports, they're not owned by the manufacturer. Is that correct?
They actually do own the structures.
They own the structure, but they lease the space.
They lease it, yes.
And usually when they exit, they have to abandon. Is that correct?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, we got to go through the chair.
Oh, I'm still here.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I want to be a part of it, too.
Mr. Chair, this is on me, not on the testifier. This is on me.
All right. Well, I lost it a while ago. Mr. Fleish.
Chair Liz Lagarde, Representative Hewitt. Yes, a number of the structures are owned by the entity. The airport owns some of the hangars. I mean, it is a mixed bag as to who owns what, but in the Cirrus's case, they largely own most of their structures, but they can't own the land. FAA requires it to be owned by the municipality, so that becomes the mechanism to get through that lease is really the only way that they can recover costs to pay for the operating costs of the airport.
Mr. Chair, to the testifier. This is a really, I mean, to have a company like Cirrus make this investment in to land that they don't own is just wonderful. And the amount of employment they bring to Minnesota, the statute they bring to Minnesota of this aircraft that they've created, which I don't know if many of our members here know this, but it's the only aircraft with a parachute still, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, it's really great, and this is a great bill, and I'm hoping that we can bring it into our omnibus.
Thank you. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and from the language, it appears it's basically aimed at regional airports. The one thing that I do see is $150,000. I know the next census, which will, you know, 2030 census, it's very probable Rochester will exceed that. Is there a reason why you you picked that when you went to 2035 as opposed to something that would, you know, maintain the same treatment for regional airports?
Mr. Fleach.
Chair Liz Lisgard, Representative Qualm. Yeah, the intention of going to 150 was to include Rochester because we did feel like they should be included. I know they are growing very rapidly. I think they're at like 135,000. So we set it at 150, hoping that they would fit within that limit. So I know we did reach out to Rochester and they were supportive of the bill. I mean, it could be raised higher. I guess at some point if Bloomington, you might end up wrapping the MAC in at some point, but I'm not opposed to it, I guess. We tried to make it so St. Cloud, Rochester, Duluth, those regional airports. It's my understanding, too, that the code hadn't been changed for years and years. So when they set 50,000, there were very few communities that didn't fit within that. I mean, Duluth was near 90 or 100,000 at that time. So,
Representative Qualm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since this is being laid over, that might be one thing to clarify, because I think the intent fits for the regional, because I know Rochester has very high traffic, and it also has the FedEx and those other flights come in, and so I would just hope the author would be able to maybe look at that to make sure we don't accidentally in a few years knock out, because recent federal census, I'm assuming that's the every 10 years, opposed to they do update the information in the Census Bureau on a more regular basis than that. So that was my main clarification I was looking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing that, closing comments.
All right. Well, thank you, Chair, and again, appreciate the opportunity to consider this bill for our regional and statewide economy, and we will certainly follow up with Rochester and the regional airports, and appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Chair renews his motion that House File 1471 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 1471 is laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, we're gonna go seniority. I knew you'd like that, buddy.
Wisdom over beauty.
I did not say that. I didn't say that. All right. Look. Look, he doesn't even want to come down anymore.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I noticed someone talking that wasn't recognized by the chair. So I didn't really pay attention then. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I know. Okay. Next up, we have House File 1802. Lead Qualm, would you like to move this?
I would so move House File 1802 be held over for possible inclusion.
Okay. Representative Qualm moves that House File 1802 be possibly laid over for inclusion. So to your bill, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. First, I have to tell you a little sad story. If you need Kleenexes or anything, I think.
You have them actually on your desk.
Oh, I've got them over here, yes. Morton is a small town, 411 people, in the Minnesota River Valley, about 95 miles southwest of here. It is located right on the edge of the Lower Sioux community. The clerk was in the city clerk was in office for 38 years, retiring in May of 2018, and a new clerk was hired. The new clerk was trained for about 3 weeks and then went to work. The mayor resigned in July of 2019, and then the clerk resigned in August of 2019, with a two-day notice. 6 weeks later, they hired a new city clerk. And basically, and I'm actually alluding to a missive sent me by Pamela Ring, the current city clerk, and she says that the office was a mess. It was discovered that not only was the 2018 audit not done, but many invoices weren't paid. And she's basically trying to learn the job as she's on the job. She needed to find policies that were in her office somewhere, but she couldn't find them. She had to dig through finances for 5 years and try to do her job, and again, learning on the job. The 2018 audit was done, and then she needed to start the 2019 audit right away. With the help of a local CPA, she was informed that 2019 was worse than 2018. Long story short, she finally got 2019's audit done and rolled right into the 2020 audit, absolutely petrified, in her words. So basically what we have here is a situation where a novice city clerk steps into a job, tries to do the job, and basically is having unfinished work and confusion heaped upon her, and consequently a report was not made, and consequently the LGA payment and the small city assistance payment for 2021 were not made, and the city then fell behind $79,476, which is a big deal to a small town. Now, they're now on track, and it is not unprecedented to authorize forgiveness of these types of claims. In the past, the chairs have, in recent memory, have had such instances and have helped out. And so we're asking that you look kindly to the small town of Morton and grant them forgiveness and the aid payment that they really need.
Thank you. I do believe there is Nathan Jessen to testify. Welcome to the committee.
Just a second, please.
Oh.
Would you hand me the Kleenex bottle?
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the Property Tax Division, my name is Nathan Jessen. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities. Just want to give you a little bit of background on just functionally how bills like this come to be before the division. In order to determine the amounts of aid necessary each year, the state has to have uniform and current financial information from the governmental units which receive aid. So the state auditor collects data from the cities in order to ensure they have the right data. And if a city doesn't comply, it's not eligible to receive LGA. The League of Minnesota Cities works with these cities to help achieve compliance for these kind of requirements. Just for example, earlier this year, there are 37 cities that missed the first half deadline. But with help from the League and contact with the state auditor, we got 35 of those cities in compliance. I think Representative Erdahl did a great job kind of explaining the backstory here. One thing I would just add is that last year, this provision was included for this city in the conference committee agreement at no cost, because the money for payments was already appropriated in that fiscal year, and unpaid payments do not need to cancel to the state, do not cancel to the state general fund until June 30th of that fiscal year. But because we're past June 30th now, this contains a very small cost. So that's just kind of some background. The other thing I would just add is that the city of Morton is now in compliance and has been since December 2021.
Anyone else would like to testify? For or against? Seeing none, member discussion. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And one thing I noticed, both this bill and the similar bill, that if you want to get more familiar with them, we've got the LGA handout from February 6th. And there are, this one's on page 17. But it's a little over $190 per person, which for these small towns is considerable. And, you know, frankly, in small towns, usually the people are part-time that are in government. So I understand, and, And, you know, frankly, it things happen.
Representative Quam, I agree with you. Yep. Anyone else? Seeing none, closing comments.
Thank you very much. Hopefully you'll be able to help out Morton, and appreciate the opportunity to come before you tonight. And
you
look forward to other appearances, Representative Gomez. Thank you.
We appreciate you coming. Chair renews, Representative Quam's motion that House File 1802 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 1802 is laid over for possible inclusion.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have House File 2239. Welcome to the committee. Representative Quam, would you like to make this motion as well?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 2239 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Okay. Representative Quam moves that House File 2239 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. Welcome to the committee. Please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Lislegarde. I appreciate the opportunity to come before the committee today. You know, this is a common occurrence at times in the legislature. We do often have the opportunities to potentially right potential wrongs in the past when it comes to LGA payments from the state. You know, one of the important aspects that we as committee members here have, especially in the Property Tax Committee and with the Department of Revenue, is to ensure that the dollars that the state of Minnesota sends to our small cities and towns are used wisely, and the reports that the state receives are an important part of that aspect, to understand that the dollars are being used adequately and properly throughout the state of Minnesota. The city of Echo is just a small city. Of course, there's, I think, 258 people that live in the fine village of Echo, Minnesota, making it the 647th largest city in the state of Minnesota. And while often you may not hear of Echo, their importance in the state of Minnesota is noted. But the story that Representative Erdahl talked about, you know, that it was the same situation here in the city. Oftentimes, in small cities and towns that we represent, someone may go to bed just a regular person and wake up mayor because 15 of their friends decided to write their name on the ballot. And oftentimes finding people to come work and be city clerks can be difficult, and there's a transition. And the city of Echo has made a change since the occurrence of the failure to properly report to the state of Minnesota, as it's stated in the letter that they've shared here with the committee. And I think it's $47,000 the city has from 2021, and we'd certainly appreciate the generosity of the committee to entertain the idea of returning that dollars. They're now in compliance, but because of the legislature, we need to take action on this. And if this bill would be placed in the potential omnibus bill that may be coming out of this committee anytime, we'd certainly appreciate the city of Echo being included in that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And I believe Mr. Jensen is going to testify.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is, like Representative Swedzinski said, a very similar story with these, particularly with some very small cities. And very similar to Morton, this proposal was included in last year's conference committee agreement. It didn't carry a cost then, but because we're past June 30th, now it does. And like Representative Swedzinski said, the city of Echo has now been in compliance for over a year on this. So.
Thank you. Anyone else remaining? No, don't see anybody. Member discussion. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, you'll be able to find Echo on page 14 if you want to look up their data. Thank you. And this is what, a little over 200 people?
Just about that, yes.
Thank you. Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just quick, to the point you made earlier, those of us who served on city councils know how hard municipal staff works, and particularly obviously with small cities, these things, as Representative Quab said, these things happen. So just wanted to acknowledge that, and also wanted to acknowledge a rather unfortunate typo in your name, Mr. Chair, on the letter from the city of Echo, but surely we won't hold that against them.
Well, thank I didn't you. Notice. Well, I turned into a pumpkin about 25 minutes ago, so.
It's okay.
So, anything else? Yes.
I just think we might have a new nickname for our division chair. Chair Dave Disregard will be convening the Property Tax Committee moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, so Representative Quam renews his motion that House File 2239 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 2239 is laid over for possible inclusion in the division report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have
Thank
a good day.
You. I will turn this fine gavel and well-run meeting over to my vice chair as we...
I think you'll be fine. Don't feel you're being discarded.
Disregarded.
Disregarded.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, do you have a motion to move House File 1285 before us?
So moved.
Okay. All right. You may proceed with the bill overview.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Let's see here. Over the course of the last several years, I personally witnessed a significant shift with respects to developing market rate housing in certain pockets of greater Minnesota. There are becoming too many rural areas where workforce housing is in high demand, but the market rate residential development just does not pencil out for private investors. Cities and economic development authorities do an incredible job of trying to cobble together incentive packages that hopefully can close the gap of some of these projects. But even that has become nearly impossible in some areas. Members, House File 1285 is an opportunity to consider adding another tool to the toolbox. A mechanism that may allow cities in greater Minnesota, where I'm from, to seal the deal on certain residential developments. And with me today, I have a friend, Mr. Simonson, that can walk through the bill in greater detail.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Simonson. Welcome to the division. Please state your name and your organization for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Eric Simonson. I'm representing the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities, CGMC. And we want to thank Representative Liz Lagarde for carrying what we think is a very important piece of legislation. The bill in front of you, although it's relatively small, would make a significant change to the TIF laws specific to what qualifies as a housing district. I also know that many members of the tax committees have sort of this love-hate relationship with TIF districts, and to be fair, so do many local government officials. This bill is an attempt to provide an option, kind of stress that word option, for putting together market rate housing developments across greater Minnesota. Members, the original law before you was created in 1989. It was a TIF tool designed specifically to support the creation of affordable housing. While I would suggest that that is still a primary goal of TIF in many instances, the CGMC has taken a position that it is perhaps time to consider the use of TIF in certain circumstances where there are no other viable options to attract a private market rate housing development. Greater Minnesota is home to many businesses that provide good wages and are looking to hire more workers. Our biggest problem is that in many areas across the state, there is simply nowhere for their employees to live. Consider a recent development in War Road. Just last year, Marvin Windows was forced to move its expanding modern line to Fargo due to a lack of workforce housing. The facility in Fargo now is operating in 120,000 square foot space with 130 employees. And they are planning to double that space and employ an additional 30 to 50 jobs. These are the type of jobs that we all should want to keep in Minnesota. Think about ASV. ASV is a maker of tracked equipment located in Grand Rapids. ASV was acquired by Yanmar, who is breaking ground on a 32,000 square foot expansion of its plant and plans to hire an additional 100 to 200 additional workers over the next 5 years. That's great news for the city of Grand Rapids. What is the problem? The lack of available workforce housing. When I first heard about this project, that number was about 400 additional workers. The biggest economic development challenges that we face in Greater Minnesota is building housing to support our workforce. Greater Minnesota is suffering from the market failure in our housing industry. For single-family homes, the cost to produce a new house is more in many areas than what the house will appraise for. For multifamily rental properties, the rents that many of our markets can support are too low to finance the construction of new units. In order for new housing to be built in many of our communities, the project will require financial assistance from the state or the local government. Members, there are many, many programs through state agencies that provide grants or loan opportunities in Minnesota that can help to bridge some of these gaps. This house file is a new concept. It's a new idea. It would be a new tool for rural Minnesota. And to be very clear, it does not minimize the but-for provisions of TIF law. Rather, it simply allows a TIF district to be considered by local units of government for all types of housing, depending on what the community need actually is. You should have a letter of support from the GMNP in your packets, I hope. That's our sister organization that does a lot of work on behalf of Greater Minnesota, especially in the area of economic development. And we would respectfully ask for your support. We think it's worth a shot, and we hope you do as well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Simonson. Are there other members of the public who'd like to comment on the bill? Seeing none in this very empty amphitheater, let's move to member discussion. All right. Just double checking and lead Quam.
No, focus here.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Chair disregard, right? Sorry.
Oh. Madam Chair, you can disregard me on this one.
Okay, very good, very good.
Nicely right. Played.
Yes.
Nicely
okay.
played.
Okay, Chair Lissagard, closing words.
I thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. While we had a lot of fun tonight, I will tell you that this is a serious issue in Greater Minnesota. You know, it is new, but it is an opportunity to put a new tool for us, and we need as many as we can get. So I hope that you would consider this to put this in. Thank you.
Great. Chair Lissagard renews his motion to lay over House File 1285 for possible consideration in the division report. The bill, House File 1285, is laid over.
That was nice.
Your jokes are usually like, you know,
50%. Okay, so I have a public announcement here, obviously. It's like reading a book. Okay, so for me personally, we are winding down. And I will tell you that I thought that this was a very enjoyable committee and hearing bills. I thought there was a lot of good dialogue. I will tell you that when I first was asked to do this, and we were talking about property taxes, and we focused on peeling back the onion to find out why is taxes, property taxes, rising so quickly. And I think that we did a good job doing that. But now we're at a point where it's winding down. And so, Lee Quam, I think you did an outstanding job asking questions to, stimulate the conversation and to deepen the understanding of what was there. So I truly appreciate it. But to lay out the roadmap for the remaining hearings, we are working on a property tax division report, which will be heard next week on Wednesday and Friday in hearings. The current plan is to present an overview and public testimony on Wednesday, March 22nd, with a markup of the division report occurring next Friday,
at 1 p.m. in room 5. But again, no, seriously, you know, tonight was probably a fitting end to a very, very enjoyable committee. And I hear of a lot of the other committees, but, you know, taxes, some people think it's boring. It's not boring. It's the people that make it enjoyable. And that's what I really enjoyed about this committee, and it was you, each and every one of you. So, and the smart people, thank you. Thank you for everything that you guys have done, because I know what you guys, the work you guys have done in helping us prepare. And I know what work lies ahead for this division report and the overall tax bill to be successful, how much you're going to bring to that table. So we are adjourned. Thank you.